NFL draft time. We're doing a predictive NFL draft here from UGASports.com. The Film Don't Lie guys, Dane Young, Brent Rollins. Brent, you are probably as into the draft as anyone in my circle that I know. We text about this a frequent amount. So I'm excited to do this, but I want to give all the caveats of what's going on here. We're doing a mock draft live on air. We're happy to have comments and discussion, people's input, especially for the Atlanta Falcons, if that's your team. But mainly, we want to – this is not what we would do if we are running these teams. Right. This is what we think is going to happen in this draft, as much as we can predict that.
And you talk about sort of loving the draft. I'll never forget as a kid, and some probably did this too. I had notebooks, and I would write down every pick and watch the entirety of it when it was Kuiper and Mortensen on ESPN. It was like 6 or 7 hours on the Saturday, and then –
And the Vikings weren't getting the card to the podium, and so people were jumping ahead.
Byron Leftwich that year, Marshall University. Shout out to Marshall in Huntington, West Virginia. But, you know, it's such – what's amazing about the draft to me is, one, 8 gazillion people, and, you know, draft Twitter is a thing, just pour into these prospects time and spend so much time and effort, and it's still – And the teams do the same, obviously. And the teams get all this information. And it's still a coin flip. It's still situational dependent. It's still, you know, half the quarterbacks are going to bust. Like, there's, especially at that position, there's still so much. And really not one team is just better at it than somebody else over a time, over a period of time. So it's just fascinating to me because it's one of those, much like baseball, where, you know, you get hit 3 out of 10 times, you're a Hall of Famer. If you hit 50% of your picks as a drafter that turn into this quality starters and get something out of them and where you find the quarterback, it changes everything for your franchise.
A couple tools that we'll be using here. People are interested in doing this on your own before the draft. This is the PFF mock draft simulator. You know more about this than I do because you're PFF related. And so you want to give us a quick rundown of how this mock draft simulator works and then the other tools that we're looking at as we make this.
You can do sort of whatever you want. You see the things on the right there that you can change in terms of public versus PFF board. Like, for example, if you were just picking for one team and then you scoot that more towards the middle, it shades and goes more towards the draft board that we have versus what the public sort of consensus. And we're going to talk about consensus board a lot this evening. Draft for needs, more or less randomness. That's always fun. I think if you add some randomness to it, just because you might get somebody who everybody in the world expects to go at 20, show up at 7.
Yeah.
Or somebody that you think is going to be at 3 or 4, show up at 13. So that always, because that's going to happen. Whether, you know, every year, how did this guy fall? How did that guy fall? Or how did this guy come up so high? You know, Cleveland Farrell with the 4th overall pick. I remember that one being just kind of a, oh my, where did that come from kind of thing. Yeah. So, yeah, you can change that how many rounds you want. We're obviously just going to do round one this evening.
We're going to do
round
one.
Which excludes a few teams.
Yes, not every team's involved in this. A couple teams involved multiple times. I have Daniel Jeremiah's draft up, his latest mock draft on my iPad over here. I know you have a couple resources you're looking at as well, just for our discussion.
Yep. Consensus board being the big thing. The other thing about this draft, I think that's obviously when you have quarterbacks, and this was like for me, just an idea that I had, I think there should be a quarterback only draft and the NFL should invest a lot more resources into the actual position and let them play in the other leagues and have 4 on the roster, all sorts of things.
What a radical idea.
I mean,
would you trade like 5 regular picks for 1 quarterback pick?
Potentially. I mean, yeah. That you have a quarterback draft on night one and then the non-quarterback the next night. That would be my thing. But outside of that, it's the draft is always intriguing when you have a lot of quarterback potential and prospects. And what's interesting is we have a recent draft where it was very similar. And literally all of them have struggled mightily and or are almost also already considered busts.
Drop some of those names.
2021 draft. So you had Trevor Lawrence at 1, Zach Wilson 2, Trey Lance, who San Francisco traded up for at 3, and then Justin Fields at 11 and Mac Jones at 15. So I mean, 5 guys.
It's Trevor Lawrence, and he's had his struggles. In part, I think Trevor Lawrence is still a really good player, but
yeah,
I mean, you get 1 year of situation. Urban Meyer, it's a lot to come back from. Year two, he looked better. Year three seemed like he kind of regressed some. Year four is probably going to determine.
Yes. And he's still something that you look at and you're going to give the, you know, humongous contract too. Whereas Wilson's basically going to be given away. If he has, you know, Trey Lance has been traded already. Justin Fields was traded for a 6th round pick. Mac Jones was traded for, I mean, it's the path of the NFL now is, hey, if you don't have one of these top guys, and that's when you look up in terms of trading up for a quarterback, it's what Mahomes and Josh Allen has done to the league. Those two guys mainly, and Burrow to a certain extent, but they've put you in a, we have that or we don't, thus we must find it and find out quickly. Like, look what the Texans did last year with getting C.J. Stroud. Like, it and what he's become as a pro. Basically, what we saw against Georgia wasn't the outlier. It was who he is, and he's now that in the league. And now he's, in terms of value, outside of Mahomes and Josh Allen and Burrow, like he might be the 4th most valuable because of the contract quarterback in the league. So
it's the cheat code that the Seahawks had early in Russell Wilson's career is that you can pay for everything else, but you don't have to pay for that yet.
Yep. And the Bears got lucky enough that the Panthers wanted to move up to get Bryce Young, and now it's the Panthers pick that is number one overall. Just amazing when you think about the just how terrible of a trade that ended up being for Carolina.
All right. Again, we're trying a predictive mock draft, and we think trades will happen. Historically, trades will happen. We know trades will happen. Yep. Just in terms of this, we're going to tell you where we think trades could be possible and probably even recommended, but we're not going to implement those trades in this draft. I just think that's too messy of a process.
Like, everybody, even a brother, thinks Minnesota's moving up. And that's the intrigue of the draft, really, is Minnesota 11, Denver 12, and Las Vegas at 13. QB sort of, quote, needy teams that looking to get into the top three or top five. Who knows? We'll see.
All right, let's start this on the clock. Chicago Bears with that first pick that was a trade from the Carolina Panthers. All the world thinks this is Caleb Williams. That's because it will be Caleb Williams.
And it should be.
He will be the future of the Chicago Bears.
Did you see the recent interview he did with Ryan Clark that was kind of making the rounds on social media here recently over the past few days?
I think I missed that. Please catch me up.
So he talked about the way he structured his pro day was basically to haters who talk about him not being able to do things in the pocket. He's like, I'm structuring my pro day around this. He talked about coming into Oklahoma and wanting to win the starting job, even though he knew Spencer Rattler was there and his potential. So it was after there was a big discussion, I think Greg McElroy brought it up about does he have that, drive and determination that makes the Mahomes and the Bradys who they are? I think he was kind of pushing back against that narrative and showing, hey, look, I am a hyper-competitive individual, and wherever I go is going to get someone who legit is there to win and do everything that it takes to win. But so yeah, he's the pick.
He'll be the number one pick. I do not think he's the best player in this draft.
I think that's interesting enough. I think that is you see that on a lot of draft boards where the next guy that's listed on the screen there ends up being one, or neighbors ends up being, you know, those two being 1-2. I've seen one where Bowers is even 3 on somebody's big board, an ESPN guy. And that's what makes you also think back to the 2021 draft, is that you had all these quarterbacks taken, and then after and or around those quarterbacks, you had Penei Sewell, Ja'Marr Chase, Jalen Waddle, Micah Parsons, Pitts in a way. Like, you had all these just known quantities of great players, and that's what you have in this draft, where you have known great players that have just produced to the nth degree in college, who, because they don't play quarterback, are going to get selected a little bit further down.
Washington's on the clock here with the 2nd overall pick. Most people have them taking a quarterback, and the odds are just shifting back and forth from what I've seen of, is this Drake May or is this Jaden Daniels from LSU?
I think in the end it's May. What do you think?
The odds say right now that Jaden Daniels is, but it's, again, it's fluctuating. I think Drake May is the most sure thing in this draft at quarterback. Now, Caleb Williams is a better overall quarterback. I worry a little bit about, is he always checked in? I worry about some of the mental stuff, that just things I saw at USC that I was like, oh, he doesn't seem like he's really elevating his team very much.
Right.
I never got that sense with Drake May at North Carolina. But yeah, I agree. We can go Drake May here.
Well, the thing for me that will be interesting to see with, when you just look at sort of the May Daniels comparison, one is age. Like, whether you realize, like, Jaden Daniels was a fifth year guy, you know, producing at LSU and having an amazing season, doing amazing things at LSU. But he also had one definitive top 10 pick and another potentially likely first round pick at receiver. So that's one thing.
Drake really good offensive line.
Drake May didn't have that at all. And then you have the size thing. Like, May is a legit, you know, 6'4", 235, 230, 235, and Daniels is 210 on his best day. And much like you saw with Bryce Young and even just, you know, slight quarterbacks in general, it might not. Now, granted, the NFL and how they treat quarterbacks, it's kind of changes now. But I do think in the end it will be May, just because of the age plus at their peak. I think you still get, because of the size and potential durability things, and May's a good athlete, run, you know, had 600 some odd yards rushing, I think, the past year. So it's not like he's that. So this is where it gets, I think, interesting.
Well, the discussion with these two, I think, is interesting in the sense that Daniels, you've seen him get better each year that he's played football. So you can say, all right, I see the trajectory of what makes him a top five pick. Drake May, you can make some arguments that the best football that he's played came a year and a half ago.
Two years ago.
Yeah. You see all the tools there, but not a whole lot this past season that you love there.
And you've got some like the Chris Sims of the world who labeled him as, you know, kind of a project, and others. But I think back to, and maybe you remember this, maybe you don't, but do you remember how Aaron Rodgers threw the ball at Cal? Like, if you ever went back and watched his mechanics at Cal and how just...
When I think of Cal, I think of Marshawn Lynch with the injury cart more than I do Aaron Rodgers.
The way he, just the mechanics and the way he held the ball, just little things like that were... It wasn't really something you would teach in a way, or at least they taught it there at Cal, but it wasn't definitively, if you look at that versus what he looks like now throwing the ball, or even what he did when he first started playing Green Bay, completely different. Like, I think this is something where, you know, footwork, these other things like that, they can be, you can work on those things, coach those things, and gradually get better. But the high end, the ceiling, that's like, I've looked at a lot of the various data as it relates to May. Third and long, best passing grade, most big time throw percentage. You know, passes over 10 yards down the field. I will say this: Daniels had a year unlike any other this past year in terms of deep throws. But a lot of that, I think, is also receiver driven. So, but I do think, Daniels is the pick at three. I don't think New England trades.
So in this scenario, we have Drake May going to the brotherhood of Dan Quinn in Washington, and then Jaden Daniels going to a culture change in New England with Belichick's out of there. They need a new identity with Gerard Mayo running the show. I agree. Jaden Daniels is just too intriguing to pass up.
And also, like, we talked about how we're not going to do trades, just because I think if we did, we might be here for like an hour and a half. but, you know, if it's, it's going to be interesting to hear after the draft if anyone says, hey, if this guy was here. Now, the teams are themselves are going to say, hey, he was our guy all along. This is who we targeted. They always say that. But you might hear some reports that, hey, if this guy was picked versus the other, especially these two players, all right, yep, we would have moved down. Or if May was there, we would have taken him. Now we're moving down. Like, it's going to be fascinating to hear that.
So we get to number
Speaking
four.
Speaking of trades.
Arizona Cardinals, I think a lot of people think this is a trade-down situation. For our purposes, I would have them taking who I believe is the best player in this draft, and that's Marvin Harrison Jr., to give Kyler Murray kind of one last shot. If it doesn't work out, you're probably replacing him next year.
I mean, at least that's interesting. I haven't looked at his contract recently, but his contract is almost borderline potential because of when he signed it. It might be semi inexpensive compared to the marketplace. Every time
I just know that if things don't work out, regardless of contract, Denver said we'll pay Russell Wilson whatever it takes to get him to go away. And yes, Kyler Murray's had enough up and down that the Cardinals could find themselves in that situation if it goes as south as possible.
And Arizona's been linked as a sort of trade down type team because of their GM who did it a year ago. And there's a video out there talk, hey, we're going to do this, and then we're going to move up, we're going to go down, then we move back up. I've seen a lot of mocks where Minnesota ends up coming to four, then Arizona comes back up to five to take Harrison. But those are things that you got to have two to tango.
Yeah.
You know, that phrase. And I agree. I think they stay here, and I think they take the best player.
So that puts us at
Jim Harbaugh.
Chargers. World. Yeah, I got confused here for a moment because Daniel Jeremiah said the Jets trading up there for a moment. So this is the Chargers coming up here. Ton of needs. A lot of them, what do you do to help Justin Herbert? I think wide receiver here makes a lot of sense considering what they've done in the offseason. So I think Malik Neighbors.
No Keenan Allen, no Mike Williams.
Yeah, I think Malik Neighbors will be top of mind for them.
But is that a hard, like, if you're Harbaugh and you're doing videos where you're hanging out in your RV with the offensive coordinator talking about his RV life, that was really good, by the way, Chargers social media team. Do you want to be, hey, we are going to be physical, and thus we're just going to take Joe Alt, and we think he's the best tackle here?
Are we down to those two? Is there any other discussion here?
I think for this team, the only possibility would be Adunze, I think. Yeah. The third possibility, mainly because he played against him. Like Harbaugh, and we've seen how much that matters in the football world, even like in the transfer portal world. Like just with recently with UGA basketball, with the guy that they got that, you know, hit him for 23 at their building. You know, we've seen that with Kirby Smart. Hey, this guy had a good game, you know, London Humphreys. He torches for a touchdown. All right, hey, let's come play for me. And Harbaugh had to prepare for Adunze in the championship game and knows what he is and knows what he's about. Neighbors is just so explosive.
And I've seen some people say that Neighbors may be better than Marvin Harrison Jr. And
I've seen a lot of that.
If they're in the same stratosphere, then Neighbors is the pick here. But did the Chargers believe that?
I think they will. So if they pick here, I actually tend to think it might be Alt, just because of the Harbaugh influence and what they potentially see in him. But receiver wise, I think you're right. It's there.
Okay, we're gonna go Neighbors here for our purposes, which takes us to the New York Giants. This is interesting. Do you go quarterback if you're moving on from Daniel Jones? Because that changes really, this is one of the inflection points of the draft. What's the position of need for the New York Giants?
So Paul asked on the show, like over under 4.5 in terms of top 10 QBs. This is an interesting spot where do they just take him? By the way, it's not just what's fascinating also about the quarterbacks is there's a clear pecking order. And by the way, I think Nix and McCarthy in terms of big board or Nix and Penix are in the 30s. Is there a clear 1-2? Like we've seen till the end of time that it's never what it is pre-draft, what it actually ends up being in terms of actual, and teams will say, hey, I had this guy versus that guy. At this point, it's a 1-year deal. Daboll coaching for his job. I think they just take Adunze.
I agree. They have Andrew Thomas. He's still fantastic. Have him locked up. So I don't think Joe Alt is the pick there.
Well, the only way would be if you took Alt, played him at right tackle, and put Evan Neal on the inside.
Yeah.
But I think they just – and when you think about this draft, 3 QBs and then 3 receivers – I think it's actually appropriate for the draft. And that actually makes this pick very easy.
Yes, because the Tennessee Titans are just thinking that heaven has fallen upon them, that Joe Alt is there for them.
That's it. You see that in terms of – and I think in terms of our mock as it looks thus far, it's not necessarily chalk because we didn't put the QB up there higher. And I think that is where we're going to be a little different. But I do think if Ault is there at seven, that's one of those ones where you just sprint to the – they sprint and they take it all day, unless they get blown away. All these teams can get blown away by a trade offer. Like, look at the last sure. 2 years. Last year, seven trades in round one. The year before that, nine. The year before that, I think three, and maybe a fourth or fifth that were even pre-draft. So, yeah, I think we're good with where we are.
You look at the teams that come after the Titans, most of those would not be immediate quarterback need. So you wouldn't trade up as far as the Titans to prevent a quarterback from going there. You'd probably skip down to maybe the Jets and make that call, something like that.
Where the Jets – are they going to try to move up and get one of the receivers? Because they are basically all in with Aaron Rodgers. Do they sit there and take the second tackle, whoever they think that is? But this is a pick that – many people were kind of curious
about. The Jets will take a quarterback later in the draft, too, just for depth, because I can't imagine Zach Wilson back with them. So
I would agree with that as well.
Atlanta Falcons.
What do you think?
It's funny to see Brock Bowers' name as lead on the PFF big board here, and there's not a world where that happens. But
I think I tweeted that in like February. The best player on the board is going to be him when they pick.
What will be the thing that frustrates Falcons fans the most? Because it feels like at draft time that tends to happen, where everyone sees that Jalen Carter was out there and then they go for Bijan Robinson. And maybe in long term that works out and that's fine, but you still see a position of need is defensive line. And I think that's why most of the mocks have them taking Dallas Turner at this pick. But you see Turner on PFF 16th ranked. So that, in terms of at least this metric, would be a bit of a stretch. Do they consider a Byron Murphy? Do they consider a Jerzon Newton? Do they go defensive back and think Quinyon Mitchell?
I actually think that's who they pick.
That was my lean, too. I thought they'd go Quinyon Mitchell from Toledo.
And I mentioned this on Bill Shank's show this earlier this week, is that Fontenot was in New Orleans when they drafted Marshawn Lattimore. And if you look at this guy's play style, ability to play man, 4.35 speed, he's what Marshawn Lattimore was coming out of Ohio State. He just hasn't done it against he's done it at Toledo versus a Power Five program. But he went to the Senior Bowl and basically dominated the Senior Bowl so much in 2 days that he said, I'm not playing in the game. So
now, here's my caveat. If any of these three receivers, Harrison, Neighbors, Odunze, if they're available when the Falcons pick, I think it's a discussion. But if they're all off the board, I do think the discussion probably turns into
Mitchell edge one or quarterback one.
Yeah.
Whoever their edge one is, because that's a big discussion too. While Dallas Turner ends up being mocked most often there, I think Latu's by far, if it wasn't for the medical like issues with him and the neck thing, like he's a Bosa level production based product. Versus Turner, who to me, the biggest thing I remember, I can't forget with Turner, is that in the SEC championship game against Georgia, after Georgia just walked it down the field on them, you know, after the game, Nick Saban said, hey, we're going to do this defensively. We made this adjustment defensively. Well, guess what that did? That made Dallas Turner play the fewest snaps of the previous two seasons.
Yeah.
In that game. So if you're telling me that guy's plays as few snaps in that game because of the defensive adjustments you made, I don't know that guy's worth a top 10 pick. That's just my thinking there.
Back around to the Chicago Bears, already drafted Caleb Williams. Do they give him a weapon? There's not a receiver that you would take at this pick, I don't believe. So if you were to give him a weapon, would it be Brock Bowers? A tight end's not really a need for them. Are they going defensive line?
I think they'll be defensive line. I could see them. I think Murphy is actually going to be the pick for them.
I think Byron Murphy is the biggest difference maker out of any defensive lineman in this draft. I like him a lot.
Very disruptive. What's interesting, I will say the counter with, if you're sort of looking at Newton versus Murphy, I was looking at this the other day because I thought it was the case. In terms of number of snaps played, Newton's average snaps per game is in the 60s. Like, he doesn't come off the field for two straight years, played more snaps than all the edge guys And that's just rare for a guy on the along the defensive interior. But with the athletic testing, the only other to me, Turner verse, like, could they go edge? And that's – but I think I will say Chicago goes Murphy.
Okay. We'll agree with Byron Murphy here.
And I think, by the way, Pitts is the Kyle Pitts enigma and just sort of what's gone with him, on with him, is a thing. Like, it's that will affect Bauer's draft position.
This takes us to the New York Jets, a team that from what I've seen, this is around Brock Bauer's territory where the discussions begin. I look at the Jets and what they're committing to Aaron Rodgers, and I tend to think the second tackle comes off the board here.
And I actually think it's not one you see on the screen. I agree. It's there. I think it's Faotanu is how you say it. There's like some enunciation.
Troy Faotanu from Washington.
Because of his positional versatility, because he was such a good tackle, and to me, he's somebody that they take and they start at guard. And if one of the tackles that they've signed recently gets hurt, which is likely because they're the two that they have are relatively injury prone, he plays tackle. Otherwise, he plays guard, and you're better for it. So I think it's Faotanu.
I agree.
Fontenu, but I think
offensive line depth to keep Aaron Rodgers on his feet, because that's the only chance you have as a team.
And it's mainly because of the guys that they've signed aren't just guys who are going to plug and play, you know, 800 snaps.
Which brings us to a team that needs a quarterback. Minnesota Vikings. So the question is, do they make the leap for J.J. McCarthy, who I do not believe is a first-round caliber NFL player? NFL disagrees. They get paid money for this? I do not. So there you go. Going quarterback here?
I think you have to. And I do think it will be McCarthy, just because of scheme fit as much as anything. And
poor Vikings fans.
Well, it's one of those where you see some of the throws, and like, you look at his third and long data where he had to make throws. You see the ability, you see the arm strength. The tools are there. I think he was a five-star prospect, if I'm not mistaken. He was a top, you know, 30, 40 type recruit.
It just feels like Michigan hid from him for 2 years.
But you can't get that out of your head, right?
Yeah.
And it's hard. It's because much like look at what Georgia's evolved to with Carson Beck. They know they have a top five quarterback. All right. We're going to try to stay as balanced as we can, but when in doubt, we're throwing the football. And it's because of that guy. So it's hard to say, but when you look at Michigan's roster, like, they're potentially going to break Georgia's record for number of guys picked. I mean, I think they had, 18 guys at the combine. And, you know, given that, Harbaugh's like, look, I'm not losing any of these games. The only way I'm losing it is if I just give it to the other team. Thus, the way to do that is just run the football. Because in the end, their talent went out. So
the Denver Broncos do not like that selection, because Denver would have liked to have J.J. – at least the option for J.J. McCarthy there. So then the question is, do you end up with some mini quarterback run and have a stretch here for Penix, who, at least from what I've seen, very debatable in if he's a first-round pick. But if you get past this stretch here of a couple of these teams, there's just not a lot of quarterback needs. And so do we think Penix goes here, or does Denver look around and say, we just need to take the best player and figure quarterback out later?
I tend to think that at this point they might – well, the thing that's interesting for Denver, more so than Vegas, is Denver doesn't have a second. So they go from like 12, and I think the next one they have is in the 70s.
So they may be in like Spencer Rattler territory at that point.
Or, I mean, who knows? Michael Pratt. Like, yeah. And right now their quarterbacks are Jared Stidham and Ben DiNucci. So it's one where I think they almost have to. Now, I also think them being the Broncos, are the most QB desperate team that will potentially be trading up.
Yeah.
You know, mortgaging the future in a way and giving away multiple picks to move up. All right, so I'm gonna let you pick here, Knicks or Penix. I do think they go quarterback just because they have to.
Thinking of the history of a Sean Payton, what does he value more than anything? It's that's going to be someone that's
quick release,
a little safer. Like he wants mistakes mitigated more than he wants flashy plays. And I know when I say Bo Nix, most Georgia fans think, no, he turned the ball over a lot. I saw
yeah, Bo Pix.
Yes, Bo Pix was there. But the Bo Nix that we saw at Oregon wasn't that. He got better.
No, rarely turned it over.
And I think you saw in the playoff Penix, I mean, risk-reward with that guy. It can be great. It can be awful. My lean would be Bo Nix.
I'll go with it.
Okay. Can't believe I just said that Bo Nix is the 12th overall pick in the draft.
It's one of those ones where you look back and you're like, they had to. Not necessarily had to, but we'll see.
Should that happen, they're right back at it next year.
I mean, maybe.
So that brings up the Las Vegas Raiders. Lots of needs on this team. Could be, like again, the quarterback run. It could happen.
I think this is the team that says no. Because they have a second-round pick. Two, because they have Antonio Pierce coaching now. They've got Gardner Minshew, Aiden O'Connell, who played a bunch last year. They've got guys who have played and who can play. And I think they're going to at least this year give Gardner Minshew a chance. So I think they go along the defensive line. And this is a spot to me where I don't know that they go there.
Okay.
I think Verse is more theirs in terms of style of player, play opposite Max Crosby. I could even see Johnny Newton being the pick there as well, either one of those. But I actually think that you see Verse come
all right
here.
I'll go with it.
And be edge one.
I think a lot of teams will be thrilled to get Jared Verse around this territory when he's there. A lot of good NFL measurables, which takes us to the team that I formerly supported, the New Orleans Saints, and I have now abandoned that fandom as they've chosen to be incredibly boring.
Yes.
So I never cared if they won or lost. I wanted them to be fun, and they chose Derek Carr. So
see, at least Kirk Cousins, by the way, is fun. Like, yes. He was in the Braves game talking tonight. He went to Atlanta United. He's at least fun.
You got Baker Mayfield in the division. You've got Kirk Cousins in the division. Like, Jameis Winston should have been in that bunch. And instead, he's interviewing fish on some boat. And just Cleveland needs to move on from Deshaun Watson for a variety of reasons and give Jameis his natural starting spot. It's just the NFL is more fun when Jameis Winston has stakes in the game. So
there's a clear position that they're going to pick to me. It's just a matter of who.
All right, that position is
offensive tackle. Because they don't know if Ramchak's going to play next year.
Yeah,
like there's a lot of up in the airness there. So, who do you think the Saints would take at offensive tackle?
Most of the mocks I've seen have Fashanu. That was my lean.
This is where I think Amarius Mims goes.
Really?
And this is just me, like the Saints a lot of these years have looked kind of been unique in their draft style and traits and physical characteristics, and there's no one on planet Earth with physical traits like Amarius Mims. Like, just, and what's interesting, if you go back and look at, so he played 803 snaps. That's it at Georgia.
So that's where I would question this a bit if they need the most proven product on the board, because as you say, Ramchak may not play. Trevor Penning, not really working out very well.
No.
So that's putting a ton of faith in Amarius Mims to be ready for this, which you're a first round pick. He is ready for this.
The last offensive tackle to play less than 1,000 career Power 5 snaps or FBS snaps, Ryan Ramchak.
I'm going to lean on your expertise, and we will send Amarius Mims down to NOLA.
And it flies in the face of, you know, typically what maybe the NFL, hey, we want offensive line who have played a bunch. But I think he's a top five. If he gets to his peak, he's a one of the top tackles in the league. He's a top five player in the draft. And I could see a team like the Saints saying, that, all right, that's where we're going. We're going to go do that right there and let him learn from some of the veterans that we have.
For fans of our channel, that would be intriguing to see the first Georgia Bulldog off the board being Mims and not Bowers. I think most people don't have it that way. I know you've been in that camp for a little bit now. Do you think likelihood there?
Well, just because of what is disheartening about it is, and the reason I would say Bowers ends up getting picked higher is because the team's going to be like, look, he's the third or fourth best player in the draft. We're going to stick to our board. We're going to draft this guy. We know what he is, and they're going to get all, you know, independent of testing. Like PFF has a game athletic score rating. They call it GAS or something like that. That's tracking data. And he's in the 99th percentile each of the last 3 years. Like, I think this past year was 99.9 percentile. Like, nobody more athletic in-game than Bowers, which is why, by the way, I think he goes to this pick at 15.
I disagree on
the Florida quarterback.
You're saying you have Bowers at 15?
Yep.
See, I thought we just saw a first-round pick from Iowa go to the professional team in Indianapolis in the WNBA.
Yeah.
And the Colts need a little bit of help at defensive back.
They do.
And there's Cooper hanging out.
Who tested all, you know, he's trying to be Jason Sehorn.
Are they willing to do this? Are they intrigued? Indianapolis is one of those places. They take pride in being Midwest and taking their own people.
Well, and also they take pride in the athletic score. Like, if you look at their people they've drafted over the previous years in terms of relative athletic score, it's always, you know, 9.5. It's always some of the highest athletic scores that you can find. So I get that.
Well, both.
And I also think Bowers is that.
Yeah.
And I also kind of want Bowers. I just like to see him end up, if he doesn't go, like, to me, him ending up with Cincinnati or Jacksonville because of the QBs there would be great. But in terms of having a coach that, you know, I think will know how to use him, the Steichen in Indianapolis, I think it's him, right? Isn't that who? He came from the Eagles. I know he's the guy that came from the Eagles. That was the Eagles OC.
Shane Steichen.
Yeah, he knows how to use players like that. He knows how to use players like him, and I think that will maximize. They're going to look at maximizing Anthony Richardson while he's on the rookie deal, and giving him somebody like Bowers, I think, would be phenomenal.
I'll lean with you, although should this happen and Bowers fall a little bit into the teens, I think the Miami Dolphins trade up to get him.
Yeah.
Just try to go Superman offense.
All right.
But we'll, for the purposes of this, move on to the Seattle Seahawks, which you got to think they may look at trying to stay with their Midwest brethren here and taking what a lot of people consider the top tackle on the board and from Oregon State.
What's interesting is if they did that, they would play him at guard, I think, initially. So I could very much see that. Let's go with that. Because they had what's interesting then, you see, in terms of a lot of mocks, you see them with Jackson Powers Johnson, the Oregon center. Interesting.
Saltana, if he fell there, for the same reason that I think you had him with the Jets up here. If he fell to the Seahawks, they would do the same thing.
And I've seen and watched a lot of this and also looked at it a lot. Fuaga is one who might be a just day one starter, really solid right tackle, but might be like an all-pro guard. So let's go there. That.
Jacksonville Jaguars, a team that I think if they have a draft that can have immediate impact, they just have a lot of good pieces on this team. And a division that is somewhat winnable. I know the Texans are getting better. I know Anthony Richardson is tough. I like a lot of the things the Jags have. I believe in the quarterback and coach. So if it's me, I still want some offensive help on this team. But I think they're going to try to bolster the defense.
Yes, I agree. I think you're going corner here. I bet it's Arnold. I would think Arnold. Opposite Tyson Campbell.
Arnold is what Daniel Jeremiah has.
They just signed Josh Allen to a monster contract. Trayvon Walker's there. I think secondary.
Let's do it. Moving on to the Bengals, who are heartbroken because Brock Bowers did not fall to them, because that would be a run to the podium situation.
This is where Newton, I think, comes off the board. And he's obviously playing at Illinois, not as well known, but just watching him snap for snap, the quickness, there's a reason he's the 11th ranked player on this board. Like I said earlier, plays a ton of snaps, rarely comes off the field. They just, in terms of some of the Cincinnati's needs, you see it on the defensive interior. I think that's where they go here. Though the next receiver, sort of whoever they think is wide receiver four, whether that's A.D. Mitchell, Brian Thomas Jr., whoever that is, I think they'll look at it and be like, okay. And I think they have, I want to say they have multiple second round picks.
I'm fine
with that. They can get that later. I think they can get, and you see, by the way, the contracts that defensive interior players are getting, the ones that are really good, astronomical. Like it's becoming a value sort of the good ones that are premium getting paid big time dollars in the NFL now.
Can also see them kicking the tires on Fashanu just because you want to keep Joe Burrow upright.
That and it you know, Latham is oftentimes as seen as a spot here. You could probably talk me into that, but I think they trust Burrow in a lot of those realms to do those things.
If all this came to pass and the Rams get on the clock at 19, I think they rush to the podium for Latu to keep him home in LA, and knowing the defensive line needs a bit of help, you're not going to replace what you're losing in Aaron Donald. And I know that this is not even the same position, but you just need more playmakers along the defensive front.
Yep. And also you might have been wanting the guy that just was taken right before them.
Yeah.
I mean, he's one where, you know, they maybe with Aaron Donald retiring, they want Newton or Murphy to follow them. But I do think if not, then it's like, all right, let's go edge.
Latu, they'd be happy with Turner, but Latu is the one for them.
Go for it.
Mike Tomlin loves his Georgia Bulldogs. There's not an obvious one here, so he's going to have to kick around somewhere else.
You see so often that Mims gets slotted here, and that could very well happen to where you now have Mims at right tackle, Broderick Jones at left tackle, and Darnell at tight end, and George Pickens at receiver. But this is, I think, Fashanu's possibility there, Latham. What's interesting is I saw something recently about how much the Steelers value, or how much the Steelers focus a lot of their picks on the East Coast. Like they don't really travel sort of out West in terms of picks.
I mean, looking at what I'm seeing on this board, it's a lot of East Coast.
Latham, I think he goes there.
So to be the right tackle opposite of Broderick?
Yep. And by the way, this draft to me is just going, especially in the first round, is going to be offensive line heavy. I think the receivers get pushed down because of these teams looking at it and being like, okay, I'm going to take the next tackle or the next offensive lineman as opposed to that, which is why I think
Fashanu.
I think it's Fashanu is how you say it. Maybe
I've been going with Fashanu here, but yeah, if he falls to the Dolphins, have to keep Tua healthy.
Yep. Now, what's interesting for them? Would they consider Xavier Worthy there?
Just for speed,
and we're just going to put a track team, on the field, and just dare you to. Corner is one that gets often mocked to Philly. But I also think offensive line for them as well would be something, just because of some of the uncertainties. And then I actually think, well, they have Juergens that was a guard and now plays center, so it's not like they have to draft center. But I do think they go DB here. And I actually think a GM with, I guess, job certainty is the GM, and this is a team to me where Cooper DeJean becomes a pick.
Let's do it. Let's send him there.
I've heard too many stories from coaches and recruiting, and if you're going to go that route, you better have a special player. So job certainty, I think, matters.
So in this mock draft, we have the Vikings having taken J.J. McCarthy at this point. So naturally to me, you go offensive side of the ball again.
I mean, you got Jordan Addison, you got Justin Jefferson.
I was more thinking Barton because he could help inside, because he can play some guard and center. He can play everything on the front.
He has played every position along the offensive line. But I do think from a value perspective,
Turner
is actually, with sort of him falling in our mock, he becomes a value play for them. And it's just like, okay, we're going to get after him. And that, by the way, now they play in a division with, you know, Caleb Williams, the Detroit Lions, who are really good, and Jordan Love. So they got to get after the quarterback. So I would, given how this has fallen for them, I would go Turner here.
This is a spot a trade could potentially happen, just because the Vikings need so much that if there's a player that someone wants to give assets to get, that's what Daniel Jeremiah has going on, that the Cardinals would trade up for Brian Thomas Jr. in this situation.
Yep.
We'll go with Dallas Turner. Dallas Cowboys on the clock. Knowing the pressure on this team to perform on offense, A.D. Mitchell at Dallas could be something special.
Scroll down a little bit more. I think there was one I was – so the next tackles are also one here that I think that are potential guys. But – I do think that you're right from a weapon standpoint, that it becomes something where you got to give Dak weapons if he's going to be your quarterback. You can't, he is what he is. And thus he's better when you have just better players outside around him. Now, the interesting one is obviously if you look at a lot of mocks, you see Brian Thomas Jr. as wide receiver 4, A.D. Mitchell's wide receiver 4 here for us. I've even seen some I know Steve Palazzolo does PFF stuff, has Jermaine Burton, if just on field only, as wide receiver 4. I've seen some with Ladd as wide receiver 4. So it's interesting, but I do think from a skill set standpoint, the only thing is that A.D. Mitchell is somewhat, I guess, similar to CeeDee Lamb. Like you often see some, he's like a CeeDee Lamb light.
Let me toss in the other potential here, which is some kind of interior offensive line, maybe a Jackson Powers Johnson, maybe a Graham Barton, because he can play anywhere for the versatility.
Yeah, and they just lost, I think, Tyron Smith. So I think offensive line.
Good Barton? Barton.
Yep.
Okay. Sending Barton to Dallas, which brings up Green Bay.
Which has one of the better rosters.
It does.
In terms of the youth. Like, it's amazing to see their roster in terms of how it's stacked. And by the way, we know they love their Georgia players.
Well, and here's the comedy for me of how many years went by with all defensive draft picks while they had Aaron Rodgers. And now since Aaron Rodgers has gone away, they've really changed the strategy on offense here. What if this is a spot for an A.D. Mitchell?
I think this is, again, offensive line. And I think Powers John. I think he's just the next best.
Don't get biased with West Virginia here for me.
So I think Zach Frazier could potentially. He's one of those, to me, sneaky first round picks types.
Yeah.
At the very end, Guyton is one who, the best of his best is really, really good. And I could actually see him being somebody that they pick here.
In a world where Amarius Mims falls this far, Green Bay is jumping up and down.
Correct. Yes. 100% taking Mims if he's there. But I think they go one of the tackles, and them developmentally, they look at guys. I think they always look for the draft picks up a little bit. You got to go up a little bit.
Yeah. Tyler Guyton. We're doing it. A lot of needs for the Buccaneers.
Interior offensive line. I think this is where Powers Johnson goes. So I mean, receiver, they have guys, but they don't, like, it's aging guys. But no, I think this is interior offensive line for them.
I'm fine with Jackson Powers Johnson there. The Dan Lanning portion of the draft begins. I suppose it's already begun with Bo Nix, but still shows the talent that he has had on the roster.
This is corner.
Yeah, we come back to the Cardinals. Oh. Just to remind everyone, we had Marvin Harrison Jr. go there. So, Dan Wiggins.
I think he is the next corner off the board. Yes.
Clemson Tigers represent. Over to the Buffalo Bills. Stephon Diggs no longer there. Couple receivers. Three out of the four top ones here. Do we think they get a weapon for Josh Allen?
I do. And it just becomes, from a need standpoint for them, it becomes such an interesting spot to be in. Which
this
one
also
of these...
gets in the territory of trades if someone wanted Penix, wanted to be sure they got him. You know that this range of teams is not going quarterback.
I think stylistically, yes, I agree with the QB. I actually think A.D. Mitchell fits there.
I think A.D. Mitchell's going to be a really good NFL player.
Though somebody with the scouting report said something recently that one of those ones where you bookmark and when he, if he does have a career, that get held back up on, bring back up.
People always say things. He's been productive everywhere he's been. I'll put it that way.
Speaking of sneaky first round pick, I think this is where Zach Frazier of West Virginia goes. I've seen him a lot higher in terms of other boards. On the consensus board, he's still right there at right around 41. But given Detroit's needs and some of the and how they can draft, not necessarily for right now, but for a year or two from now, with what they have with some of their aging people along the interior of the offensive line, I think Zach Frazier is the pick here.
I'm fine with that. I will say Daniel Jeremiah has this as Kool-Aid McKinstry. He's
still on the board. Yeah.
If he's still on the board, I think that's what Baltimore does here.
I agree. They've invested a lot in receiver recently. You could see, historically, Chop Robinson is one. You know, they love their Penn State edge guys. They've taken a few of them in the last few years, but I think they've got people who are there. So, let's go McKinstry.
So we have two more picks remaining. San Francisco, not a lot of needs on this roster.
No, other than tackle, at least from a sort of developmental standpoint, tackle becomes one for them. But the way also they structure their team, I see Chop Robinson being – I think the way they sort of focus in on the defensive line, I'd go there. Especially, I think he's one who, if you look at him from a, he could potentially be bust or he could potentially be the best, like by far best edge guy in the class because of the athleticism profile.
If there's a hope for a third Georgia player, it probably does fall to 32 because it's well known the Chiefs need a receiver. Ladd McConkey will be among the receivers, but I don't think he's the one taken here. Don't think he ends up being a first-round pick. Is this Brian Thomas Jr.? Is this another position?
This is where I thought, and I mentioned this on Paul Eddie and Andy's show, that if there's a third Georgia player taken in the first round, I think it's this spot, and I think it's Javon Bullard.
Are you saying that's what you think is going to happen? Because I do not think that's going to happen. I think Bullard's going to be a fantastic NFL player. I don't think he's a first-round pick.
I agree that it's not going to happen. I also think that they would take a tackle, one of the tackle
Jordan prospects. Morgan.
Yep. He's the only other one, I think, and he's a little further down on our board, is the one from BYU, Kingsley, I think. Maybe a little bit further. Wow, I didn't realize it was that far down the board. But look at the average draft position, 45.6. I think in terms of consensus board, he's in the right around 40. So he would be one. But I think Morgan as a developmental tackle for them, I think they're going offensive line.
Could I talk you into defensive line at all for them?
Always.
Yeah.
With them. Fisk is another interesting case.
Yeah.
Because the athleticism profile that he put on display at the combine, plus very productive in Chris his year at Florida State. Jenkins is one that I think he's a just solid second-round player. Some other sneaky first-round guys, I think, Michael Hall from Ohio State, who's way further down the board. I think he's somebody that profiles as a top 50 pick. Peyton Wilson, who's there. If you look at his athletic score compared to Micah Parsons, obviously completely different player, and he's got injury issues, but still, like, insanely athletic player.
I like Rake Straw a lot to be a really productive NFL player.
Yes, and I agree with him as well. Edrin Cooper from A&M, I think, is another one that if you see a linebacker go, that he ends up being there. But we'll let you finish it out on this one.
All right. I think we had a consensus, Jordan Morgan, here. So we'll do all that. Right. And that gives us – it analyzes your mock draft with PFF. So you can see how each pick did. But we did all the picks. So I will make sure to leave this page up so we can share it out later. Overall, let's just point out a few things. We had the quarterback run of Williams, May, and Daniels, but then only Bo Nix going in the first round. Should trades happen and someone need a quarterback?
McCarthy right ahead of him.
Excuse me. You're right. So they're five.
Five, not six.
Penix not going in the first round. Other than that, offensive line heavy, receiver heavy, which matches, I think, what football's turning into, which is lot of value early. At receiver.
Well, no, I just, much like 2021, I think we're going to look back at this draft 3-4 years from now and that run of Harrison Jr., Neighbors, Odunze, Alt, like they're just those guys are going to be big time players in the league.
A lot of talent in this draft.
A lot of offensive talent. I think I saw eight being the first defensive pick. Like I forget how many years ago it was that's been the latest defensive pick. Like I said, if Latu wasn't either one older and or two had the injury issues from a production standpoint, he'd be a top five pick, slam dunk. But he's had 2 years where he was off because of the medical stuff, and that's an issue.
Just looking at this, the riskiest picks to me are quarterback.
Yeah.
But that's the risk reward. You have to get that position correct, and if you don't, you're doing this again next year anyway.
Offensive line is always interesting because – it's such a different game at the NFL level than it is at college. And you think that, hey, certain things are going to translate, and oftentimes they do, but it's not always a slam dunk for that. There's no stable metric that says, hey, look, if this guy's good at this in college, he's from our charting standpoint, he's going to be good in the NFL. There's only certain few things that are truly predictive. And by the way, being able to win as a pass rusher is one.
Of note, we had Amarius Mims at 14 to the Saints, Brock Bowers at 15 to the Colts. So we're saying mid-first-round picks for both of those guys. I think that tracks for most of what I'm seeing. In terms of what would be next, I would have Georgia between 2 and 3 second-round picks. Ladd McConkey for sure.
Yep. Bullard, I think.
Von Bullard for sure. We'll see with Kamari Lassiter. I think it's likely, but there's a chance he slips down. That 40 time, I think, scared off some people.
And specifically Georgia, obviously, since that's what we do here and that's what we focus on. We had talked about this a while back, I think after the either Combine or Senior Bowl or something, about over under 9.5 picks in the draft. Like in Dane Brugler recently did his 7-round mock.
Dane without a Y.
And no Dejan Edwards, no Kendall Milton, no Marcus Rosemary Jackson. Just had 7 guys. Like I think Van Pran was maybe in like the 4th or 5th round. So
they always say you'd rather be undrafted than a 7th round pick, but I don't know if that's true. If I'm a player, you probably like the call.
I still think Rosemary Jackson gets drafted. That's just, I think somebody's in the 6th round is going to be like, look, we're going to get a reliable guy who's going to be a special teams whiz for us. And we're going to take that.
Do you have any final draft hot takes that you want to release here? For multiple reasons. 1, the draft is coming. And 2, I probably won't be able to do a ton of content with you because my wife and I are expecting our third child, and that's going to happen sometime in the next 2 to 3 weeks. So may not be as much postmortem on this draft. So I want to get your hot takes out now.
I don't know if I have any just true hot takes. I'm just so intrigued to see what happens with the quarterbacks. If there's movement, if people stay put, like we didn't do any trades here, but you know, history says that's not going to be the case. And the way first round picks are now and the way that the importance of the position is now, that it's just, you see teams move up for it. And like, look at San Francisco, moved up for Trey Lance and it barely even, you know, impacted them. But in the end, it didn't necessarily, because coaching being one part of that, but who's going to move up? And is one of those teams at 11, 12, 13, is it one of those teams at 11, 12, 13 that move into say 4 or 5?
My main takes, Marvin Harrison Jr. is the best player in this draft to me. He is the most ready to day one in the NFL be a difference maker. The other, I don't see as much distance between these quarterbacks as other people do. Caleb Williams has all the tools to be a fantastic NFL quarterback.
Yep.
So you have to take him number one because of those tools.
And fear a little, and the production.
Production's there, had the Heisman. Again, I fear a little bit of what this last year looked like with him. There were times he looked very, very mortal. Nothing that was elevating the players around him. Was that frustration? Was that system? It's hard to ascertain those things. If an NFL team feels good about the interviews they've done with him, you take him, you're happy with it, you see what happens there. If it doesn't work out, then that's not your fault. You did the smart thing in taking him. Beyond that, it's a whole lot of question marks. I'm higher on Drake May than most. I have worries about Jaden Daniels. I would not take Bo Nix in the first round. I would not take Michael Penix in the first round. I would not take J.J. McCarthy in the first round. Those are all guys that are second, third, fourth. But I could make the argument that Spencer Rattler is more primed to be an NFL contributor than a Penix, a Nix, a McCarthy.
Yep.
But I'd be in the vast minority in that, and NFL people make a lot more money than me.
I think maybe my other take would be, especially given the nature of the channel that we focus on, I think Carson Beck would be pushing for QB3 at worst.
He'd be a top 10 pick, right?
I think he would definitively be a top 10 pick in this draft.
Well, he's making money at Georgia now. We know that.
So very true. But it's going to be fun. Like this, when there's QB intrigue and you don't know, it makes for fun. It makes the draft fun.
Yeah. It'll be a fun night. We're excited that we get to check it out together. I know you and I will be texting a lot. You'll be watching on your phone, I believe, for some of this. Yes,
most of it. I'll be in baseball playoff game.
Get your picture in picture so my text can still come through and not disrupt you too much. But we'll make it happen there. Thanks, everybody, for listening and watching our mock draft here, our predictive mock draft from UGASports.com. For Brent Rollins, I'm Dane Young. We will see you next time. If we fit in some kind of recap of this draft, we'll do it for you. But if not, it's because I have a kid being born. So thanks for your patience on that. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.